You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Both.
I was waiting for you to say that before I started. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 181 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave here. How's it going?
How's it going, sir? Thanks for showing up tonight. And we have our George replacement for the evening. We have our very good friend and longtime part of the show, Justin, from the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. How are you doing, sir?
What's going on, guys? I'm doing pretty good.
How's everybody's quarantining going?
You know, the longer this goes on, the more I'm aware that I was built for quarantine.
Yeah. I've been
Some
okay.
Some of us just were.
I have so many friends that are like, man, I miss people. I miss going out and doing stuff. And I'm like, I really don't. Like, I talk to you guys pretty regularly on my phone. Yeah. That's all I really need.
I miss you guys in person, but I don't miss having to go out and do stuff. And
it's great just staying home all the time.
Saving money.
I don't drive anywhere. I don't sit in traffic. I get to save money. you know, I have time to work out.
I think I refilled my gas tank like a month ago, and I'm still working on the same tank of gas. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
I went out maybe Thursday for about an hour to go run a couple errands, pick up the groceries and things like that in my car. And first time I've driven my car in like 2 weeks, you know.
I haven't driven my car since I came home from work back in March.
Oh, wow.
So, I've driven Erica's car a few times, but I mean, we're pretty much just going to the grocery store.
Yeah, us too. We'll go out and get
the mall to pick up some stuff, but that was it.
Haven't done that yet. We'll go and get, you know, pick up food and that type of stuff. Where did we go yesterday? We went to Target and we went to Jollibee nearby our house, and it was interesting. It was okay.
That sounds like a massage parlor. Is that a massage parlor?
Well, we did go inside, and I did not see that portion of the restaurant.
Welcome to the Jollibee.
We're here to touch your stinger.
That's a good one.
It was okay. It's like Filipino style fast food. So they have a lot of and the people that know have been there before, there's like a huge fan base for this place. There's even a Funko Pop for the mascot, which is like the giant bee. But yeah, so it's like fried chicken, which I'm not a big fan of fried chicken, but I had something, I can't remember what it's called, but it was like rice noodles and it had like a garlic sauce and pork rind and like shrimp and stuff. It was very interesting. It was good.
Sounds interesting.
And Kim had their spaghetti, which is like a sweet spaghetti that has like hot dogs in it.
That
sounds less
okay.
Good. Yeah,
none
that sounds
that sounds okay.
It was different. Yeah. Kim liked it, apparently.
Spaghetti and hot dogs. No.
Really?
and sweet spaghetti and hot dogs.
Well, it wasn't super sweet, but it wasn't like spicy, you know. It wasn't like a normal tomato sauce. It had something to it, I guess. I don't know. It was alright. So what have you guys been up to? Anything very interesting happen?
I've been watching a ton of movies and a ton of TV shows.
We'll definitely get into that. We've been binging quite a few things recently.
Started playing Darksiders Genesis.
What do you think of that?
It's not Diablo.
No, it's not Diablo. It's Diablo style, like the top down view, but it's not a Diablo game. It's a Darksiders game with completely.
All the animation and stuff looks fantastic. You know, the storyline seems pretty good. I'm not that far into it yet, but the storyline seems pretty good. The gameplay, it's pretty fluid for the Switch, but the gameplay animations and stuff, they're kind of frustrating, and I don't like that there's no like map of where you're going.
Right.
At least in the beginning, you probably acquire one later, but it's really frustrating in the beginning levels.
I don't remember. I made it to level 4 in that game, and I haven't picked it back up since then. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's pretty cheap right now. You can get it for like $15 for like all systems.
I spent like $25 for it.
That's still not bad.
But
it's a fun game. It's, you know, if you don't know who Joe Madd is, Joe Madderia, it's all his designs and stuff like that, just like the other games.
It's pretty cool. I love the Darksiders franchise. It's a great story, great franchise. I think I prefer the 3D, you know, first-person perspective.
How did you – I played a good chunk of the first Darksiders game on PC, and I didn't much care for it. And I wonder if – maybe part of that was that I was trying to play with keyboard and mouse, and
probably,
yeah,
that's probably a big part of it. It worked just great with the controls. The controls were really fluid and very intuitive to use. And like the first one, it's pretty short. It's only like 8 hours to get through, but
I got most of the way through it, I feel like, and just kind of eventually gave up.
They've remastered the first two, I believe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, three have. Is like, I saw three is cheap at like $5 recently. At GameStop.
Three was a fantastic game.
Yeah. I never beat it, but
one was really fun, but like I said, it was short. Two is incredibly huge. Like, it has so much extra stuff. I mean, the first game was like 8 hours, the second game is probably closer to 55, 60. But there's a lot of like side quests and things you don't have to do to complete the main storyline. That's if you want to complete it.
Yep.
And then the third game, it's kind of somewhere in the middle. It's like 25 to 35 hours. It's a little more linear, but there are a few side quests and choices you make in the beginning of the game severely impact what ending you get, because there's multiple endings. Three, I thought, was the best of the group. It was really fun.
I still have, because Darksiders 1 came out on the 360, and I have my 360 version signed by Joe Madd. He was at a comic book convention. He's like, you're the only one who's brought this to get signed. I'm like, that's cool. It's all right. what have I been playing? I've been I've gone through this game called Maneater. Have you heard about it yet?
The shark game.
I think I heard about
it. I talked about this on the last MSR cast because I couldn't help but talk about it. The game is so much fun. It's not let me preface it. It's not the best looking game. It's not the longest game. It's not the most in depth game. It's not even the greatest game, but it's so much fun playing it. The only problem is I ran into a glitch where there's different sections that you go to, and there's different things that you have to discover. So there's like little statues or like landmarks, and there's like you have to catch all these little collectible things. One of the landmarks, it's blocking my 100% completion of this game with my achievement because it's not showing up. But it shows up
like it's straight up not populating.
It's not populating in the game. They just did. I was waiting and waiting for an update, and they did the update, and it still didn't fix my damn problem. So I can't get like the full upgrade because like it's waiting on that one damn thing, but it just doesn't populate. But besides that, the game is so fun and so funny too. There's a lot of inside joke, a lot of comedy to it. The game is narrated by Chris Parnell.
Okay.
So the premise of there's like a loose premise where there's like this reality TV series about this shark hunter, and it starts off you're a baby shark, and there's no song. There's not the baby shark song. Just don't worry about that. And the whole purpose of the game is you keep on getting bigger and, you know, expanding, and you turn into a mega shark at the end of the game. And you go after this guy, but there every collectible and every little area you find in the game, Chris Parnell will come on and tell you like some kind of joke or you know, tidbit about the level or something. It's really funny. And some of the landmarks that you have to find are mostly all pop culture like references. The deepest one that I found, there was underwater. There is a three shells, right? And he talks about how if you don't know how to use the three shells, you don't get any toilet paper. Do you guys know what that's from?
Yeah, Demolition Man.
Exactly.
Demolition
right.
Demolition Man.
Yep. I was like, wow, that is a really deep, deep cut. And there's like stings you can find, like part of the Titanic, and you find like SpongeBob's like house under the sea and all this kind of cool stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's something really okay. satisfying. Yeah, seriously. There's something so satisfying about just eating people and killing people. No. And no prostitutes, yeah. There's just so much – there's so much – the fun factor outweighs any of the negativity in this game. It's one of those rare little games. You know what I mean?
Okay. Cool.
And I also – I picked up Resident Evil 3 Remaster when it was pretty cheap. It was like $20-something dollars. And, man, that game, it's beautiful. It's really fun, but it's really short. I beat it in like 5 hours. But then again, I was playing it on the easiest mode because, man, because Nemesis comes in there and kicks your butt.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I ever finished that one. I know I played it. I have a copy of it.
Yeah, that's what I felt about it. I couldn't remember the ending, but.
I feel like I probably played all the way through it and the original itself probably wasn't all that long either.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was. I know the remakes 2 and 3, they've done a little bit of changing things around. I just don't know comparatively where they differ from the original, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the new Resident Evil they announced? We'll get more into some of the upcoming...
Village.
When I saw that trailer, I was watching that PlayStation Live thing, and I knew it was a Resident Evil game. I could tell. And then they did, the Village logo... And then it sort of morphed into Resident Evil logo.
Hopefully it's better than some other things called The Village.
Like the movie?
Yeah,
hopefully I don't think M. Night Shyamalan is involved in this game.
But I didn't hate that movie.
I hated that movie.
I enjoy that Resident Evil they've been branching out with different game genres, but keeping it still Resident Evil, like... Resident Evil 7 was like, you know, where you're stuck in that house with like the crazy family trying to kill you, like, you know. But it was still involved in the Resident Evil storyline somehow. And that's what Village is going to be, 8. It looks pretty cool. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it looks good.
I can't.
I don't think I've played a Resident Evil game since Resident Evil 3. I think that was the last one
really?
I played.
I think that was the last one I played all the way through.
You know what I think killed it for me? What killed Resident Evil for me was the movies. I think once the movies started coming out, like I just didn't care about Resident Evil anymore because they're so bad.
It's all Ali Larder's fault
that she kills zeros.
Ali Larder ruins everything she touches.
Damn! She hasn't touched anything in a while, though.
This may be an unpopular opinion, but Michelle Rodriguez does that. In my opinion, I cannot stand her. So
yeah.
Julia Roberts does that for me.
She's pretty bad too. Julia Roberts, I don't know, but I mean, she didn't really make anything except rom-coms. So
yeah, that's true.
It's not like she
was
trying
themselves.
To be an action hero. I can't really imagine Julia Roberts as an action hero.
No, me either. But the game I have been going back to is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I picked that back up, and that game is just. It's so addictive, but it's so damn long of a game.
Yeah.
I'm not even done, like, with the storyline. And it's just like, oh, my God, it just keeps on going and going and going. And there's so many side quests and things to do. But it's a fun game. And I just reached, like, level 32. So I'm pretty far. It's just, I don't know. If you're not strong enough for certain things, you just get your butt handed to you, you know?
Yeah.
What was the last Assassin's Creed game you guys played?
Two.
The last one I played all the way through was 3.
Yeah.
Last one I played all the way through was the first one.
Oh, wow.
I liked 2 and 3 a lot. Was it Assassin's Creed Rogue or whatever?
Yeah. I think the last one I really, really played was Black Flag Part 4, which you were a pirate. I really liked that one.
I got a copy of that for Christmas and then just never got around to opening it. So I still got it sitting there sealed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have copies. I have copies of most of them in some format or another. I just haven't played them.
It's an Ubisoft game. They get so cheap. It's not. It's worth. It's almost like they're giving them to you in a way. $5 for your Assassin's Creed game?
Okay, I mean, sure. A lot of them I've acquired in like. Yeah, I tend to acquire them in like bundles and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like the new one coming out, Valhalla, I'm actually excited for it.
It's Vikings. I mean, how can you not be? Yeah, I'm going to be playing that one for sure.
And the whole soundtrack is done by
Wardruna. Wardruna's on the soundtrack.
Wardruna. That's right. That's going to be exciting. If they don't have an Amon Amarth channel, I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm home all the time from the quarantine. I should be playing a lot more games because now I finally have time to, but I'm just not.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple games either. I'm playing, but I'm mostly just watching stuff.
So let's get into that. What have you been watching?
We watched Knives Out the other night. It's on Amazon Prime.
What did you think of that movie?
I loved it all the way through.
Yes.
It was a really well done murder mystery story. And I felt like just about everybody in it did a really good job. The writing was really good. I was kind of taken aback at Daniel Craig's Georgian gentleman accent.
Uh-huh.
And it was a little bit clumsy here and there, but his performance overall was so good that it was completely forgivable.
We saw that in the theater, didn't we, Justin?
Yeah, we did. I thought it was a good movie. I didn't get the hype for it. I mean, people were like raving about it and stuff, and I thought it was kind of a good, well done twist, but it was predictable to me.
They gave you the twist like halfway through the movie.
Yeah,
which I appreciated that.
All that means is that that's not really the twist,
right?
That means
right. But I mean, I figured out what was going on way earlier in the movie, and then by the time we got there, it was like, yeah, that was well done, so I can appreciate it. And it was a good movie. It just wasn't like, it didn't catch me off guard, and like so many people that I know were just like, man, it caught me off guard, and I loved it. And
I'm like, it didn't catch me off guard. I mean, it felt like every step of the way, like whatever they're showing you now, you're like, oh, okay, I see where this is going at the next step, but I can't quite see it like four or five steps out. You know, it's not. There wasn't any single point that was like a great big, oh my God, I never saw that coming.
It was a good Agatha Christie style movie, you know?
It was just, the journey to get there was so much fun, though. That's really what I liked about it.
Yeah, that everybody really brought their A game.
The actors were all fantastic, yeah for sure.
One of the guys, Lakeith Stanfield from Atlanta. I saw this movie before I started watching Atlanta, which I finished a few months ago. But there's an episode in Atlanta, I think I've mentioned it maybe here on the show, where the guy, he's like the one of the main characters in the show, but he goes to this weird house to pick up some artwork, and it turns into this like weird bottleneck episode of like almost like a weird horror movie where if you watch one episode of the show, that's the one I recommend. It's so weird and awkward and off-putting, but it's really, really good. And I think they even won an Emmy for that episode. Don't quote me, but I think they did. He's really good on that show and in Knives Out. I'm like, oh, yeah. And he was in that weird movie where he worked in like I can't think of what it's called now, but I watched it a few months ago, where he worked in a telecommunications something and like these weird – it was weird.
Sounds weird.
That doesn't narrow it down much.
Thank you for something. It's something George recommended a long time ago, and I'm like, yeah, I'll never watch that. Sorry to bother you. That's what it was.
Oh, that movie's great.
Yes.
Yeah, that movie's really good.
It's weird.
It is. It's a very strange movie, but you want to talk about a movie doing something unexpected? That's one of them.
Yes, definitely. I'm glad George didn't ruin it for me because he's like, I'm not going to. I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. I'll make sure I watch it.
It starts out as a movie about like, you know, racial prejudice and you know, him struggling with his day to day boring job and boring life. And then he befriends some high powered people and then finds out that like everything you knew about the world was a complete lie. And like, you know, it's wild. Everything that happens in the last like 30 minutes of the movie is just completely nuts.
You do need to watch it, Dave.
What's the name of it again?
Sorry to bother you.
It's on Hulu.
Is it streaming?
It's on Hulu.
Yes,
it's on Hulu.
That's where I watched it.
I thought I saw it on one of the, I thought I saw it on one of those recently.
Yeah, you'd like it, Dave. It's definitely a surprising movie.
I did watch last week. I watched Just Mercy because it was free to watch. That movie was great. Everybody should watch that movie right now. It's really well done.
Michael, that's the one with Jamie Foxx, right?
Yes, Jamie Foxx, Michael B. Jordan, Brie Larson's in it. It's all set in the like the early 80s. So she's very like poofy, like poodle hair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty good movie. It's really, really, really good. And it's free on like almost every single streaming service right now, just because what's going on in the world. It's definitely worth a watch.
I'll have to check that out. I'm about out of stuff anyway, so.
There's no way. There's millions of things out there.
Yeah, I know, but all the streaming services have a limited supply of things.
It's true.
It's like I've watched all my favorites that they have, you know, and I've watched all the mainstream releases that they have that mm-hmm. I wanted to see that I didn't see. And then I've started watching really fringe things and some of them are good and some of them are just like, why am I wasting my time with this? Like the other day I watched Waves. Have you ever seen Waves before?
No.
Jeff Goldblum and Cyndi Lauper are psychics that are paired together.
Oh my god, that sounds bizarre as shit.
They get paired together to try to find this ancient, like, Aztec-style pyramid that's supposed to grant somebody psychic power to control the world.
I'm on board for that.
It has its moments, but it's not a good movie.
What was that streaming on?
I think it's on Netflix. It might be Hulu. It's one of the two. I watched that the other night, and I was just like, man.
On Disney Plus, me and my wife, last week, we started – we realized we never finished a lot of the Marvel series, so we never finished season two of Agent Carter. Mm-hmm. So we watched through that. We finished that a couple days ago. And for some reason, I watched all of Artemis Fowl. It took me multiple sittings to finish it, but that movie is so bad. So I've read a couple of reviews after I watched it, and people do not compare this to the book series. They say this movie has nothing to do with the book series besides character names, basically. Mm-hmm. So apparently Artemis Fowl in the books, he's actually like a supervillain. He's like, they compared him to like the Die Hard villain. I was like, okay, nothing like this movie. The kid playing him, I think he's the grandkid of Robert Shaw from Jaws, but this kid cannot act, can't emote. We were watching him last night and we were just timing it. Okay, when are you going to fucking blink, dude? Blink. Blink, damn it, blink. And he won't do it. He's just like staring blank at the camera and then like not even – he smiled once in the movie. We're like, it was just so bad. Didn't make any sense. It was just – CGI wasn't good. Everything was just all over the place. Josh Gad was in it, and his accent, his voice that he chose sounded like Luke Skywalker from the Mark Hamill's version of Luke Skywalker from the current movies.
I'll bet you anything George gives it a 7 out of 10.
I don't even know if George is going to like this one. I mean, I'm glad it was free to watch on Disney Plus right now. You know, with everything going on, there's no theaters. But if this got released to the theaters, it would have been a huge bomb for them.
Yeah.
At least some way they could – putting it out on the streaming service, they've been able to sort of recoup their losses a little bit, I guess, because people are already paying for it.
Maybe they can at least save face.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It's just so bad. Watch it. Watch like the first 10 minutes and you'll be like, okay, I don't know how he made it through here.
So you guys – I think I recall hearing speaking highly of BoJack Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yes, sir.
I started watching it a couple of days ago and like I could tell that like they're going to be doing something with all of this and it's going to be meaningful and everything, but like I don't think it's funny.
It's not funny. It's not funny, especially the first season.
And so I stopped. Okay. So first season it gets better though.
It does.
Okay. Well, the humor becomes a lot less like opaque, I guess is the only real word to describe it. Like, there's not a lot of humor in the first season. The first season is all about character development and establishing who these people are and like seeing what BoJack struggles with on a daily basis. I mean, the whole series is about that, really. But
it's like,
it's a very dark comedy, but it's a cartoon.
Joke after joke, but they're not funny. Like, yeah, none, like
I totally get where you're coming from.
I disagree.
As it goes on, though,
okay,
as it goes on, the comedy becomes
it does. I agree on better. That too.
The comedy becomes much better as it goes along. And by the time
maybe
you
get
to
I'll
the
get
last
back
season,
into it then.
The funny stuff is really good, and you know the somber stuff is even better.
Okay,
it's almost worth watching just for the somber side of things and the realism, because it's one of the best depictions of having to struggle with anxiety and depression that's ever existed.
It really is.
And I remember I thought I remembered both of you saying things to that effect, and so that's relevant to me, and I'm curious to see it. But I got through the first few episodes, and I'm like, I think I've chuckled twice, and like,
you can't, yeah, we should have qualified that the first time we talked about it. But it's not meant to be a funny haha kind of show.
There are funny haha moments in it, but
there are some really good funny haha moments, especially the deeper you get into it. But before you get to those, you've really got to like have a deep understanding of who every character is.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that really does help the series, because you really start caring for these characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're a cartoon. It's weird that a cartoon can elicit so many deep emotions.
I don't find that weird at all.
Well, I know, but you really care about – you don't care about – okay, what I'm trying to say, you don't care about Bart Simpson the same way you care about what happens to BoJack, you know what I mean? It's just a different – style of the way the characters are. And a lot of people think about cartoons, they think about that style.
You can't equate BoJack Horseman to Peter Griffin or something and expect
totally.
It to be the same. He's not the family guy. He's his own creature that deals with like more realistic type problems than where am I going to park my helicopter today?
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, anybody out there that struggles with anxiety or depression should definitely check out BoJack. It's very enlightening.
I love Will Arnett in the show too. He's so great.
Yeah,
he's the perfect voice for this character.
Agreed.
What else haven't we been watching? I've been when I'm at work, I don't really want to watch anything too heavy. So like I went through the whole Parks and Rec show, and now I'm going through 30 Rock, which. I've seen it here and there, like episodes here and there, but just starting from the beginning, it's a funny show. It's really funny.
It has like incredibly good highs and incredibly bad lows.
Well, I haven't got to the bad lows yet. I'm only in season three.
Like 30 Rock, it was airing at the same time The Office was on and Parks and Rec was on, and I mean, I watched all of them back then. On NBC as they aired, and it was just like 30 Rock would come on and I'd be like, well, I hope this is a good episode at least. And it's like sometimes it would be and sometimes it would just be terrible. It really just depends which batch of characters they follow around.
Sure.
But I mean, it's not bad. It's not a bad show by any means.
I like weird. I like weird, quirky.
Nowhere close to Parks and Rec, though.
No. I like weird, quirky comedies like that. So it's definitely right up my alley. And the way some of the camera stuff is, and the I don't know, just the sound effects and the music in the show really make it too. You know what I mean?
Have you ever watched F is for Family on Netflix?
No, it keeps on showing up on my viewing thing, but I've never like taken the time to watch it.
I mean it reminds me so much of my childhood.
Yeah,
because the dad is just like 2 seconds away from a stroke at any moment. Just from like screaming at his kids and being so angry and just wanting to like
tell
my
dad
the fuck alone all the time. And a lot of the humor comes from that. It's Bill Burr. He writes and directs several of them, and he's plays the voice of the main character as well.
Know that. The guy from The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not incredibly funny all the way through. There's a lot of parts that are like, this is kind of lulling. And there's some places that are really, more real than you expect them to be. Like, sure. It kind of dips its toe into the BoJack waters a little bit.
Okay.
There's a lot of like sentimentality built into some of the episodes, but it's also very funny when it hits its stride. And this last season, especially, like, I laughed a lot this last season. So if you're looking for another pretty good animated series to check out, but I have to say, it's not really a show for everybody. So if you don't get it in the first season, you probably shouldn't bother sticking with it because it's more of the same.
Let me ask you guys, have you guys ever watched Archer?
Yeah, no. I couldn't.
Really, I started season one and I really couldn't finish it. It's okay. It's, I don't know.
It's like a crude adult version of Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen like sketches from it and like bits. I don't know if I've ever watched an entire episode, but I've seen bits from it, and none of what I saw really compelled me to jump in with both feet, you know? So
I know so many people that love it and adore it. And I mean, I've tried to watch it. I watched most of the first season. It's just not for me. It's not for me.
So what movies can you recommend right now?
Color Out of Space is my number one.
Still haven't seen it yet. God damn it.
I haven't seen it yet either. Really need to watch it.
I've watched it 3 times now, and it just gets better each time. So absolutely love that film. I also highly recommend Dr. Sleep. I watched the director's cut the other day. It was even better on the second go around than it was the first time I watched it.
Okay. I've said this before, and this is definitely something I need to fix now that we're sort of stuck at home more. I still haven't really seen The Shining all the way through. And we were just,
what?
Yes, I know. I was watching that. Okay. So I called we have DirecTV, and I called them yesterday. I'm like, how do I get HBO Max for free? So they hooked me up with this deal. So I get it free for 3 months and I can make a decision what I want to do. They also gave us Showtime and they gave us Cinemax and, Stars. Kim, my wife, signed up for it 'cause she wanted to finish Outlander. And there was a deal for like $25, for 6 months. Right. So I'm like, okay, go ahead and do that. I searched through all these services that we now have. The Shining is not showing anywhere. I'm like, how can that be? Because I wanted to sit down. Go ahead.
I gave you my Movies Anywhere. It should be in my Movies Anywhere, so you can just download it and watch that.
Okay, perfect. Because I wanted to sit down with my wife and watch that, and then we wanted to watch the Dr. Sleep director's cut. But I want to watch The Shining before we do that.
If you enjoy The Shining, you know, on any level, you have to see Dr. Sleep. I mean, the director's cut, it's better than the original. They add a lot more, like, not really jump scare moments, but a lot more, like, explanation about the ghosts and how they appear to Danny throughout his life.
Okay.
You see the bathtub lady several more times than you actually do in the theatrical version. And it kind of just expands on how the magic works a little bit more. There was a lot that I loved in the theatrical version, but I really and truly loved the director's cut more. Honestly, I would say Dr. Sleep is top 10 movies all time for me.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's like, high praise.
That's how much I love it. It's a fantastic movie. So
it really was. I saw it that 1.5 times in the theater.
I'm just dying for Mondo to make a poster so I can buy it and put it front and center in my house.
Surprised they haven't yet.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't either. But yeah, it's definitely worth watching.
Okay. What about you, Dave? Do you have any movies that you've watched that you can recommend to us?
I've been raging at the world so much recently. I haven't actually watched that much stuff recently. So, other than, like I said, I watched Knives Out, really enjoyed it, but I haven't been watching a lot of movies. We've continued to, work our way through, Supernatural.
I saw they just added the last season or the 15th season or something.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Except that the 15th season isn't actually finished.
No.
They had to stop production because of the Rona. And so there's like 2 or 3 episodes left that they haven't done yet.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. So that's it for it, though, too, right?
And it's going to be done.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in season 11 right now. Hmm. So just steadily making my way through that.
Okay.
But yeah, and other than that, we've been watching, I think I talked about last time, I was talking about this stupid like BuzzFeed show that was up on Hulu.
Yes.
About the like their like ghost hunter show, and one of the guys completely 100% skeptic, and the other guy is a total believer. And I watched through everything they had on that, and then those two guys have another show on there that's them talking about true crime stuff throughout history, and it's interesting. It's, you know, they're short little like 20-minute episodes, so they're easy to watch and entertaining enough. So like we've been just kind of having those on as we go about our day, but haven't done a lot of like really dedicated sit down watching as much of anything. So
I've been watching the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I haven't watched this past week because I wanted to finish Agent Carter first, because I know one of the characters from Agent Carter makes an appearance and there could be something happening. So I wanted to finish that first, but yeah, I'm digging it. I know it's the last season and all that. So I still like that show a lot.
Yeah, I really enjoyed like the first three seasons, and then I just sort of lost interest. And
it got more science fiction-y.
But I mean, I stopped watching a lot of shows around that time. Like, I gave up on Arrow. I gave up on Supergirl.
I gave up on all
that stuff around then. Yeah.
It got very science fiction-y. They went into space and all this kind of stuff and started finding aliens and, you know, the Kree and all that. So it's good. It's not the best show, but I like this new season because they're like the first two episodes, they're like they go back in time to like 1920s during like Prohibition, all this kind of stuff. Pretty cool. Yeah,
that's cool.
I need to finish that. So I just opened a Netflix on my phone. And the first thing that showed up for me is F is for Family. So something's telling me to watch that.
Yeah, it seems like it's been promoted pretty heavily recently. I've been seeing a lot of those splash screens and stuff like that for it.
Well, the new season came out like 2 days ago, so that's probably why.
That explains it.
Yep. Okay. I'm looking at my recent watch list on Netflix. Me and my wife watched the new season of Queer Eye. That's something. Do you guys watch that at all?
Never have.
It's a feel good thing right now. You know what I mean? It makes you feel good about life in general when you watch that show.
I've been watching a lot of cooking shows, and that does the same
thing. Yeah, me too. I downloaded the Food Network channel, the app on my TV and on my devices. I'm so happy. That's my one of my go-to things is watching Food Network.
Erica loves cooking shows, so a lot of the time when we're just laying in bed playing on our phones or playing Switches, we just turn on Chopped or Hell's Kitchen or something.
I'm not a big fan of like cooking shows, like demonstration shows. I'm a fan of like the competition shows.
Yeah.
Like Iron what is it? I almost called it Iron Fist. Iron Chef America.
Right.
Love that show. It's so great.
I just like watching what's his name yell at people. That's the
who's that? Oh, Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
We like Gordon Ramsay a lot.
Yell at people. It's the best.
It's weird. Apparently, that's all a shtick for him to being that much of an asshole. He's apparently a really nice guy. On, I guess CNN does like a series. It's sort of like it was like the Anthony Bourdain style show where he goes to different countries and does shows. That's streaming on Disney Plus. If you haven't seen that, it's pretty good.
Hmm.
Okay. He's not an asshole in it most of the time.
Where's the fun in that?
I know. We watched the other show he does. It's like that 24 Hours and Back where you've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one's fun too.
Yeah.
We love all that type of horrible food reality style shows, you know?
I mean, it's better than real reality shows.
Oh yeah, definitely. I definitely don't like those. I'll come home come downstairs in the morning sometime. My wife is watching like the Shaws of Sunset and that crap. I'm just like, let me know when it's over.
Yeah, I can't deal with that.
You heard me. I heard her from the other room go, shut up.
But I've been watching RuPaul with her. That's okay. I like competition shows more than like bad reality shows. You know what I mean? I don't care about these people's lives. It's all made up and fake anyways, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, I finished the last season of, finished the last part of the Arcadia show, the Troll Hunter show.
Okay.
And apparently there is a whole other show, a second show based on them, and there's a third one coming out too, sometime this year. I didn't know all that. But it's all produced and, you know, created by Del Toro, which is pretty cool. I tried getting into the IT Crowd.
That is one of my favorite shows. I love that show.
I watched the first episode, so I'm going to give it another go, but it was so, and I like the people on the show, you know, it's just, it was, too, I guess it might've been too dry.
Oh,
for
that
me.
Reminded me though.
Sorry, you're breaking
so
up.
That's one of my like most quoted shows around. It's one of my most quoted shows around our house. We're constantly throwing like IT Crowd yeah. quotes at each other.
Nice.
I love that show.
We did that with Always Sunny.
Well, and speaking of which, it reminded me, have finished the season 2 of What We Do in the Shadows.
We just finished that right before we recorded.
Through all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not bothering with that.
Why?
He doesn't like Taika Waititi anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, you can't be perfect all the time, dude.
I've seen enough to know what his he's about.
But he's not really involved in the writing of the show. It's Jemaine Clement.
Yeah.
Okay.
No interest.
All right. So, Dave, we can talk about it then. What did you think of this season?
I really liked it.
Not as funny as the first.
I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like Nandor became a much better character in this season. Like, in the first season, I felt like Nandor was basically only there to serve as a plot point for Guillermo.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I feel like Nandor became much more of a character this season, and I thought he did a much... the performance from him was better in general. I loved what they did with Guillermo in the first season, and I'm continuing to love what they're doing with Guillermo. He's probably the best character in the show.
This last episode, the season finale, the last 5 minutes, I'm like, what the fuck? This is awesome.
I knew we were going to get something like that eventually. And I loved that we did get it.
This showed he was a complete badass.
Oh, totally. But he's great. But of the vampires, Colin Robinson continues to be my favorite.
That episode
which
where
surprised...
he... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the episode where he powers up and he gets super powerful.
Where he gets promoted at work.
So fucking funny.
That was awesome.
I can see Justin. This is an audio podcast, but if you're watching it, if we were actually live streaming, you can see Justin is looking up in the sky, bored as hell.
I just have nothing in tribute. I mean, I've made my views on Taika Waititi clear.
Yeah. We can shut up now.
But I figured that before the show started, mm-hmm. I figured that the Laszlo character was going to be my favorite because it's Matt Berry, and I think Matt Berry's funny. And that's the IT Crowd tie-in there.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's not even my favorite.
No.
Like, he's still really funny in it, but there's so many other great characters in it.
Where he takes off and goes to run that that bar in like Iowa or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so funny.
That was a great one.
Okay, maybe the season, you go back and look at it and reminisce. I'm like, this season is a really fucking funny. But I think, you know, the first season, it was just like, I can't believe there's some of the things they were doing, like the Vampire Council. It was like, just surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they sort of bring that back a little bit in this last episode, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of great guest stars on the show, and it's just a great show. I know season 3 has been picked up, but I don't think Jemaine Clement is going to be on the writing staff for this next season, from what I read.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I'm sure he's still involved as being producer and all that, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, and I also, how many things that we enjoy are going into kind of weird hiatus, and we don't know when things are going to be things and.
Yeah,
all that.
When we were watching the season, I asked my wife, I'm like, how long do you think the show can really last and be funny and not overstay its welcome? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather it to go out on a high note than to suffer through it like a bad season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did either of you watch Space Force?
I did. Speaking of bad season.
Y'all didn't like it?
It was okay.
I liked it a lot.
My wife started watching it and then stopped because she was like, hey, you need to watch this with me. But I haven't started in on it yet.
See, so. I love Greg Daniels and I love his style of humor. Big fan of The Office, big fan of Parks and Rec. And it's more of the same. I think the chemistry between Malkovich and Carell is just awesome all the way
through. Malkovich is great on the show.
Yeah. I mean, I had other people that I know watched it and they were just like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
No, I don't think that at all.
12 episodes of this. And then I have other people who are kind of like middle of the pack, but I thought it was really fun. I enjoyed it all the way through.
I think I'm middle of the pack on it. I enjoyed it. But it wasn't my favorite thing. Everybody in it is really good. I just don't think they had, the opportunity to really shine as they should have.
Well, they had to spend a lot of time on character development before they can really get into the crazy stories about space. And I think season two, if they do a season two, they'll have a lot more like shenanigan type stuff and it'll be a little bit more fun.
I like Ben Schwartz in it. I'm starting to really think that guy is so great.
He is. Have you watched the stand-up thing with him and
Middleditch?
Yes,
we've watched the first episode of it. It's so funny.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, I didn't see the whole thing, but I watched like three episodes.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
The Middleditch. Yeah, he's like the voice of Sonic in the Sonic movie. And he's also Ben Schwartz and Bill Hader share the voice credits for BB-8. In the first Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And I know Ben Schwartz, when he was promoting Star Wars and he was like a D23, he's like a big Disneyland fan. I'm like, all right, you are officially cool in my book.
Yeah, I've seen a few movies he's been in. There was one with him and TJ Miller that was really funny, but I can't remember what it was called. But I mean, I mostly know him from Silicon Valley, obviously. You know, that's his best performance so far, I'd say.
TJ Miller or Ben Schwartz?
No, Ben Schwartz. Or Middleditch.
Middleditch. Yeah, like again. Ben Schwartz with it on.
I know Ben Schwartz from John Ralphio.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Right. Yeah.
You have to sing it, though. You have to be like a John Ralphio.
John Ralphio.
There you go. Yeah, I went back and see, I watched that reunion show they did before I went back and binged Parks and Rec. And then I went back and watched it last week after I had binged it. I'm like, okay, this all makes sense to me now. Because when I watched it, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know who all these characters are. That's what I loved. What I loved about that show is they had their main group of funny characters, but they had – it was like a cartoon in a way where they had all these tertiary and side characters that would constantly just reappear in different episodes. Not like like Turd, the newscaster guy. He wasn't he wasn't just like a one episode. He was like in there all the time. I love how they had these other characters that lived in this world that made it feel more than just a comedy. You know what I mean?
Right. It was an incredibly well designed series. They did a great job. All the characters are interesting and fun. Even the tertiary ones, like you said, I mean, sometimes just the random Pawneans that would show up and ask dumb questions were still like entertaining and contributed a lot to the show. Parks and Rec, probably the best sitcom ever made. Like, it's real close.
I agree now. It's really good. I think about it all the time. Like, I should rewatch it again. I just finished it like 2 weeks ago, you know?
The only thing it has against it is the first season, because the first season is not funny at all.
First season's not great.
Suffers badly from trying to get through all the character development just shoved in there.
I don't think
trying to copy what The Office does step for step. I mean, they don't really come into their own and make it their own until season two. But every season after season two, it's like it just gets better and better. Whereas The Office, it's like season one, they did the same thing. They tried to copy the British Office, and then it gets pretty good in season two, and then it's like ups and downs and ups and downs, and it's not consistent all the way through like Parks and Rec is.
But did you?
They're both good.
Speaking of Greg Daniels, did you ever watch Upload?
Yes, I did. We talked about that last time.
Yeah, I couldn't remember or not. I really liked that show.
I enjoyed it too. I think Space Force was probably slightly better, but they're both good.
I don't know. I might have liked Upload a little bit more, but just the caliber of actors on Space Force is definitely worth your watch. And they use a monkey song in one of the end credits. So
that sells it for Carrie.
That sold her for me. I'm like, yay. It was funny. Like, I saw that, and then like a couple days later, all these monkeys fan groups, and then they're like, hey, they used the song in episode 8. And everyone's like, spoilers. I'm like, the fuck is that spoiling? It's not spoiling anything. It's just a song, damn it. It was, I don't know. All right. So do you guys want to move on? We have a quick topic I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about this PlayStation 5 news and sort of do talk about what kind of information has come out between that and the Xbox Series X. And
yeah, I don't care about the actual information about PlayStation 5. All I care about are the memes. They've been pretty spectacular.
They have.
I watched the like hardware reveal video, and it was like a minute of balls bouncing, and then like 2 minutes of like these weird shots around the curves, and I'm like, I don't care that much. It's there to like play games and watch movies on. Who gives a shit this much what it looks like? Is anyone care that much?
I don't care about all I care about is the games.
It could just straight up be a nondescript black box,
like the Xbox
does. Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care either. I'm on that page. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
So the meme, as a result, the memes have been pretty good. Yeah. Like someone stuck the wireless router inside like a white 3-ring binder.
I've seen better ones than that. Have you seen the one with the 4 PlayStations carrying the Xbox? Like it's the African funeral procession or whatever.
No, I have not.
Dancing guys. So that's real funny. I also saw one that had the PlayStation sitting in the middle with 5 black Xboxes standing around behind it. Like,
oh, oh God. Man, okay. So, I mean, I don't really care about the look, but it definitely I can see where people are making comparisons to like, hey, it's like it looks like my router and all this kind of stuff. But apparently, these systems are going to be huge. There is a comparison chart I saw that how big the Xbox Series X and the PS5 are going to be. These things are humongous. I'll try to put a link in our show notes at metalgeekspodcast.com and put a link to like the image of the comparison. Man, it's crazy, dude.
I mean, that's really not that big of a deal though. I mean, I used to think all the time, like, why are they bothering trying to fit so much components into a tiny little box when they could just build a Dell PC sized container and put everything they want in there and make it actually. Like,
that's what the Xbox seems like it's going to be. The Xbox Series X.
I'm fine with that. It can be as big as it needs to be. Like,
I agree.
You can set it beside your TV if it's a problem.
Just like put a fan on it the whole time. It's going to produce a lot of heat. Okay, so speaking of PlayStation, before we move on real quick, I do want to talk about a game that I did play on PSVR. I know Dave could not play this game at all, but I picked up The Walking Dead VR game. Holy crap, this is like the best VR experience I've ever had. It's a really awesome game. It's really fucking difficult. So it's all interesting the way it works. And I played the Iron Man demo too, which was interesting as well. You get to actually be Iron Man, and it felt very realistic, almost to the point where it was frustrating to control. Like, you had to hold your hands forward to stop and down and back to go forward and hover. It's very difficult, but
makes you appreciate what Tony has to go through, right?
It does. Yeah. But the training level was okay. But the level where you're on your airplane and you get attacked, that was a phenomenal action, like, set piece. And it was pretty fun to play through. So, anytime you guys want to come over and check it out after everything cools down,
I'll like get January. Motion sick again. So
we'll see you in January. Well,
I'll let you play in next year. It's cool. No, but the Walking Dead game is called Saints and Sinners. And man, just the way you control it. So you have a backpack and you pick up things in the world, and you actually have to do all these movements in real time because you have the two move controllers. So if you pick something up, you have to pick it up, hold it up, stick it in your backpack. You have your knife on your left and your gun on your right. You can get a shotgun. It's on your back. You have to do the movement and everything. It's really kinetic and overwhelmingly difficult when you don't know what the fuck you're doing, and all these zombies coming at you, and all you have left is like one bullet and like a broken.
You should have Kim record you playing it and then upload the video of that.
I don't think we should. When I was playing it, like,
it's what the people want, Gary.
I don't know. But so, I mean, she was in the room with me when I was playing it, and she moved around at one point and walked by me. I thought, oh God, the atmosphere that this game is able to make, it's so awesome. It's not the best game, but I mean, just okay. There's a part where a mission I had to go. I went into this suburb, and I had to go into like a house, sneak up onto the second floor, and do you actually climb the trellis? You actually do the movement of climbing the trellis and then jump into the window and everything. That's where I died. I keep on dying in that area. I'm not very good at it, but it's still a lot of fun. Which leads me to wonder, the PS5, it's what is – I've invested, you know, into the PSVR. How is that going to work on the new system? Is it going to be just the same device and just updated on the new hardware? You know what I mean? I hope so.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean – You're a lot more enthusiastic about VR type stuff than I am. It gives me headaches. So
it doesn't for me. Time. I know it does for Dave because he tried playing Doom.
I can do it for a little while, but 20 minutes or so, and then I'm done. Like, it just makes me so disoriented and gives me such a bad headache.
Mm. Luckily, I don't have that problem.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people do. So speaking of PS5, what games are you guys announced that you're excited for?
I don't even know what they've announced. I know Bethesda announced something earlier today.
Today, really?
But I don't. I thought so. I thought at least I got like some kind of a notification or saw a social media post or something that about a announcement that Bethesda was making.
I'm an Xbox guy. I've always been an Xbox guy. I won't buy a PlayStation 5. Erica just bought a PlayStation 4 to play Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah.
But I won't even play that. Like, Stray looks pretty cool. Stray looks like a fun game where you just play as the cat that wanders around, like, the robot city and
like
stuff.
Like your detective, detective cat?
Yeah. But, honestly, I'm not that enthusiastic about it. It really doesn't mean anything to me.
The game that sold me, and I'm an Xbox fanboy, too. I will probably pick up an Xbox before a PS5, for sure. But the Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart game, when that game comes out, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's when I'm going to buy the system. That is a definite system seller for me. I'm a huge Ratchet and Clank fan. I'm a fan of the first party PlayStation titles, but if I have a choice of playing on a PlayStation or Xbox One, I'm definitely more comfortable on the Xbox.
I mean, I'd rather play Halo than just about any other game. So whenever the new Halo comes out is whenever I'll buy the new Xbox and, you know, but I don't play as many games as you do anyways. Like,
right.
It took me forever to buy a Switch, and I pretty much just bought it to play Animal Crossing with Eric. But I've gotten a few other games since then. And
still have not played Animal Crossing.
I play Xbox from time to time, but it's like, you know, only when they release a game that I actually care about, which is maybe like once every year and a half. So, I mean, it's I'm not a hardcore gamer at all anymore. I'm barely even a casual gamer.
You're more the hardcore phone.
I play phone games. Yeah. Yes, I play phone games extremely competitively, but that's just because it's always with me and it's super accessible.
I know they announced Horizon 2 Forbidden West. If you haven't played Horizon Zero Dawn, awesome game. My wife wants to play that game, and I'm like, we only have one PlayStation in the house, so I'm like, she should be playing it right now while I'm recording. That's all I got to be saying right now. Because this is her time to shine.
Just wasting her time.
Just wasting her time.
I'm looking through a list of game announcements, and I'm going, GTA 5 remastered again?
Yeah.
Do we really need to do that?
And they started that press conference, whatever they call it, their PlayStation Live thing, with that game. I'm like, okay, that game's been out. This is like the third console generation it'll be out on. Who cares anymore?
Yeah. Like, it's a cool game and all. I enjoyed it. But
yeah. When it came out, stop updating it and make a new one. It's time.
Looking at you, Skyrim.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm looking through the list here, and
I think some of these games are probably going to come out on the other system, too. So
I think Deathloop was the Bethesda game I was thinking of.
Okay. Yes, I remember.
I don't know anything.
That.
I don't know anything about it yet. But I tend to like the stuff that Bethesda puts out. But yeah, I mean, I'm not really seeing a bunch of stuff on here that I'm like super stoked on. But that's not uncommon. Usually, when these new consoles come out, like the first bunch of stuff they announce, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like a little bit like Justin. I don't play a ton of games anymore. Not as much as I used. And I've never been like, you know, I got to play everything that comes out. I just play what jumps out to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's not surprising to me that like there's not a lot in here yet that I'm super stoked on.
I know
that doesn't tell me one way or another what my opinion of the console as a whole is going to be.
I know so. Resident Evil 8 is probably going to be on both systems. You know, they did announce Spider-Man Miles Morales, but I don't think it's going to be a full game from the clues I'm picking up on. I think it's just going to be an expansion to the original Spider-Man game. And
that's the impression I got too.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's going to be a full game, which is disappointing. I think it should. That's cool though. A Miles Morales game is pretty awesome.
Yeah. But I mean, I never played the Amazing Spider-Man game that came out, but George raved about it.
Yes.
He played that thing for months. He 100%ed it, I think. But
I watched him play too.
A little bit. It looked pretty impressive, and if this is anything like that, I think it'll turn a lot of people on.
I agree. So what do we know about the Xbox Series X? Not much. I know it has more teraflops.
Yeah, it's got way better stats from what I hear, but you know, like I'm sure they're in the same situation that every industry's in right now, where they don't have a lot of people working super hard to push games out, just because the coronavirus and everything else going on.
But I think a lot of these game companies can work from home,
but it still slows down their production.
Oh, for
sure. It's a lot harder to get things tested. It's a lot harder to get, you know, bugs and kinks worked out. Like I think a lot of games are just going to take a little bit longer to get processed and published just because of the way the world is right now.
Speaking of, before we move on to PlayStation really quick, Last of Us 2 comes out on Friday. Super stoked for that game. Reviews have been phenomenal. It's getting like 10 out of 10. And it's one of my favorite narrative games of all time, and I'm excited for the sequel.
Yeah, that one, I don't know. I haven't really been looking at the Last of Us 2 material.
I'm avoiding it.
I don't know that I'd say I'm avoiding it, but I kind of went into the first one blind. Mm-hmm. It was already on the remaster by the time I played the first one, and it was kind of like I didn't really know that much about it. It just came highly recommended. I think it was your copy.
It was my copy, yeah.
Originally. We have a copy of it now, but I went into it relatively blind and really, really enjoyed it. And so I guess if I'm going to play the second one, I kind of want to go into it with the same fresh experience. So I'm not really looking for information on it.
Yeah, so. I know, because like months ago, you know, it got pushed back a little bit because of the corona. And then I guess months ago, somebody leaked the entire story from the game. And all these reviews came out like on Friday. I'm like, I'm not reading any of them. I saw like IGN gave it like a 10 out of 10. I'm like, okay, that's all I want to know. I know it's good. I don't want to know any kind of thing that will spoil anything for me. So I'm going to avoid it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I usually, for a game like that, for a lot of games, I'll watch reviews. Even if I know I'm going to get it eventually, I will watch the review. Staying away from it. I want to be surprised the whole way through. I'm so looking forward to it. I got my game pre-ordered, actually.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey. Was it you, Justin? You tagged me in this heavy metal video game coming out?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that.
That thing looks pretty badass. I don't know. Have you seen that, Dave?
Is it the like, rhythm game? It looks like Doom.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called Hellsinger.
Okay.
I saw that on the PS5 list just now.
Yeah, it's a rhythm first-person shooter. It does look a lot like Doom. You're fighting demons and stuff, but it's to the beat of the music.
I'm down for that.
It looks super fun.
And who's in the game? I mean, it's not like just generic metal band. It's actually real bands.
Yeah, it is. I know Matthew Heafy's heavily involved in it. I can't remember who else. I'm trying to look. Hang on.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the... There should be an article somewhere where it's like the band names, you know? I mean...
Metal Hellsinger feels like being in a mosh pit while armed to the teeth.
I think that's...
Yeah.
That's cool. And the flow of it from the trailer, it was the art style and the flow itself. I'm like, God, this looks like they just took the Doom engine and put it to music is what it looks like. So, and
yeah,
I'm cool with that. The way, at least the way that I play Doom and Doom Eternal is there's kind of a rhythm and a flow to it already. There's already the way that I play it. There's already that to it. And so making that a distinct part of the gameplay, I'm up to trying that. That sounds interesting.
So according to their website, every track is created specifically for the game with vocals by metal icons such as Matt Heafy from Trivium, Michael Stahn from Dark Tranquility, Bjorn Strid from Soilwork, and Alyssa White Gluth from Arch Enemy. So
all great choices.
Yeah. Four out of five ain't bad.
Well, three out of four. I mean, she's not that bad of a vocalist, but
no, she's actually an okay vocalist. It's just, you know, they're slipping.
Yeah, their music has become generic as hell.
She's terrible at writing lyrics. I will 100% agree with that. But her voice is actually not that bad.
Even her singing voice is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dark Tranquility. I mean, come on. All they got to do is put Amorphous in this game, and I'm down.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll add more singers and stuff as it goes along.
I'm excited for it. It's a Metal Geeks game right there. This is exactly what we want.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
This was like, do you remember the Jack Black game that he was in with like all the metal soundtrack?
Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend.
I loved Brutal Legend.
I loved that game too.
Not a great game, but you played it anyways. You didn't give a shit.
It wasn't a bad game.
No.
It was just short. It felt like Fable with metal soundtrack.
Some of the mechanics were really clunky.
The
RTS mechanics.
Yes, I was about to
really
say that.
Clunky in that game, but it was so much fun. The world was so much fun. Like I would just get in the fucking car and just drive around for half an hour. I'd just go and drive around and jump off shit and listen to music because the world itself was fun to be in.
I mean, yeah, Enslaved is on the soundtrack. Come on.
Yeah. They had a couple of tracks on there.
Yeah. I need to go back and play that.
And I appreciated that about it, too, because the soundtrack was so diverse on that.
Yes.
They really went in. If this is a celebration of heavy metal music as a whole, they at least tried to get some representation from as many different places as they could, I felt like. And,
yeah, they definitely did.
Totally agree. All right, so we don't have George here, so we can't talk about George Hates Metal, but we can talk about some metal music that we've been listening to recently. You want to do that?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, why don't you get us started, dude? I know you've been – okay, let's preface it by saying that we do have something that we would like people to know about. If you go to Spotify, and we've shared this on our social medias in this past week, we've started a Metal Geeks MSR Cast playlist. Right now, it's just focusing on – 2020 music, so all brand new bands and new music from bands that we enjoy. So there's been a lot of stuff I've been listening to that Justin has been adding to it that I had no idea about. So
I've really been doing the same thing again I did last year. I'm keeping track of the spreadsheet. I'm listening to pretty much every album that I can find that comes out during the year, and then assigning a number value to them. And anything that scores a four out of five or better by my rating system, I put into a separate category, and then I'm pulling like whatever I think is the most exciting track off those albums and adding them to this playlist.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think we're right around 100 songs now.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I'm looking at the set list, right? The playlist right now. I mean, we have everything from Enslaved to Hyken to Green Carnation, which is ultimately one of my favorite albums of the year so far. The new Naglfar, Winter Phyllis, Nygmalion. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Sodomillion's awesome.
Yes, it is. Sodomizery. That band you were talking about, listened to it yesterday, the There's that power metal band. I can't think of what they're called now.
The power metal band or the one I texted you about?
The one you texted me about, yeah.
What were they called? They were called Paralydium.
Paralydium, yeah.
They're like a technical, they're a progressive technical band. They're not really death metal, but they're like, they have some death metal elements to them.
But I guess, but yeah, but the vocals are more power metal style.
Yeah, it's like proggy tech power with some death metal elements.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I thought Kerry would love it. I thought it was right up his alley. Another really good one is Insanium.
Is it terrible insane? Name.
It's insane. It's truly insane.
In the membrane?
Yes.
I see that right now. A Wolf with Hunger.
Yeah, I added that one. There's a lot of good stuff on this playlist. I think we shared a link to the Metal Geeks page, and then we've all shared it ourselves. I don't know if Dave, have you heard of Kavane yet?
No. Kavane. I'm way behind on like everything.
Check out Kavane. It's K-V-A-E-N. I think you'll love them.
Okay.
Really, really enjoying that one as well. But yeah, I've still got probably 30 or 40 albums in my best out of 2020 so far that I need to pull songs from and add to this. And then new stuff gets released every week. So I'm going through some of the new stuff. This week's new stuff, because I can talk about that easier.
Sure.
Let's see. There's an album called, or band called An Autumn for Crippled Children.
Okay.
That's the band name?
That's the band name.
Okay.
I've done this thing where I keep finding really good bands that have terrible names.
You are good at that.
Yeah, this is one of those. It's a pretty good album. Very dark. It's like kind of a blackened doom metal band.
Oh, yeah?
They're solid. Blight is pretty good. They're like a blackened thrash metal band. Denied is like straight power metal. They're really fun.
Really? Okay.
Let me see. Nox Aeternum's a really good mellow black metal band. Moonlight Haze is a really good power metal band. Valdrin is they're a little bit raw. They're not as polished as they should be, I think, but there's some really good stuff in all the songs. Angel Crypt is like mellow death with a lot of power metal elements.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like my alley.
Kerry would probably really like them. The singer's voice, I don't know, something about it just doesn't quite fit the music for me, but it's also really, really good in parts, so it's kind of hard to dismiss it just for that. But that's all the new stuff that came out this past week that I liked.
Have you had any? Are these added to that list on our playlist?
I'm still working on it.
Okay.
You know, I'm adding new stuff every night.
I see Angel Crypt on there. Yeah. Okay.
I go on like a 5 mile walk every night. And while I'm walking, I go through these and pull out songs that I think would fit onto the list and then add them in. So
there you go. I know. I see Angel Crypt on there. Have you heard the new Ocean of the Slumber song yet, Dave?
It's killer.
Yes.
They made a big deal about the last segment of the song and like Dan Swano talking about like, this is, I think the quote was something to the effect of, this is the most bombastic thing I've ever recorded. It's something.
Yes.
It's heavy as shit.
I am, they have a limited edition, like orange vinyl that Century Media just emailed me about today. And I'm like, oh, I need to pre-order that. And there's only 200 of them are made. And it comes with the CD. So I'm like, this is definitely a band that I'm going to get to collect the vinyl and get them to sign it every time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm excited for this album.
Yeah. It's going to be good. That, they actually, that coming out sent me back. I went back and listened to some, Edge of Sanity material after that. Cause I was in, was saying, oh yeah, Dan Swano. I haven't listened to anything from him in a while.
I love Dan Swano. He's so talented, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just an amazing musician. He's very, I feel he's very underrated. He just doesn't get the recognition, especially here in America, that he deserves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Dan Swano, Justin? Are you a big fan?
Not as much as you guys.
You suck.
But I'm not as much of a fan of Oceans of Slumber as you guys are either. They're okay. Like, I like some of the songs, but I'm not into them the way you guys are. I don't know. you know, I tend more towards extreme and black metal than like the slower stuff. So
you've heard Witherscape, right, Dave?
I have, but I'm not like real familiar.
The first Witherscape album that he did, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's The Inheritance. It was like 2013. Oh, I love that album. It's still one of my favorite albums of all time.
It's just, is a good album.
Yes.
I do like Witherscape quite a bit.
Okay. Then you should like a lot of Dan Swano type stuff then. But I mean, Nightingale is so different than anything he does. It's like 80s fucking, like, you know, just like take Depeche Mode and put like 80s like metal guitar on it. And he sings everything. It's great.
Cool.
So do you guys want to do anything like with Tickling Our Geeks?
Sure.
I'm trying to decide about how tickled I am. The new Bill and Ted movie. Now that we have a trailer,
You're not tickled. Are you going to be tickled that you're going to be able to probably watch it at home instead of in the theater?
I think macho built up bodybuilder Bill Justin? And Ted will happily tickle you.
They probably would.
They want to pump you up to it. I don't know that we can really tell much of anything from the trailer, but yeah. I'm still excited about it and I want to see it. Like, those are some of my favorite movies ever, are the Bill and Ted movies. I really hope that they don't play the, hey, Bill and Ted are middle-aged and nothing has come of it, as just like a gag through the whole movie. Like, mm-hmm. That needs to be the central story element where the character development comes from, in my opinion.
I think it will be. I mean, the trailer kind of makes it seem like that it's going to be. Like, they...
I just don't want it to be the butt of the joke the whole time.
I don't think they'll do that, though. I mean, it really seems like, you know, they didn't accomplish what they were supposed to by that time, and now they've got to go back and figure out what they missed or what they did wrong to try to fix it. And I think that's the way they're going to go with it.
I think that's got to deal with, like, them as people, and, like, that's got to be where the human element of the story comes from. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's timely for, like, people like us who, like, we grew up watching Bill and Ted, and now we're, like, still in this world, and the world is a complete fucking disaster. Mm-hmm. And so what can we do about that right now, you know?
If only we had a time machine.
If only we had a fucking time machine.
We need their song to save the world. I mean, that's what it is.
We do.
We're still waiting on it, and that's what the premise of the movie, that they're like, they realize that they haven't created the song that's going to save the world yet, so they have to figure it out and go back and do all this time travel stuff. It's great.
I mean,
I love that they're sticking with the classic Bill and Ted theme of like, oh, well, we'll just wait until it's already happened and then go that they just abuse the timeline so blatantly. There's like, oh, well, we don't worry about it. We know that eventually we get this thing figured out, so we'll just go steal it from ourselves.
That's right.
They haven't learned anything.
Do you think Station's in the movie?
I'll be disappointed
if Station's not in the movie.
I know Death is, but
yeah, Death is. I mean, it would be, I hope they go to hell at some point. I hope they, you know, go back and revisit some of the characters from Excellent Adventure.
Yes. It's got to be.
There's a lot of stuff they could do.
When it came out, it came out on Friday last week, Tuesday or something, like June 9th, which was Bill and Ted Day because of 69, dude.
69, dude.
That's right. I went back and I pulled out my Bill and Ted Go to Hell soundtrack and listened to that.
Nice.
Some good stuff on that soundtrack. I think one of my favorite
Journey poster hanging in my living room. You know.
Yeah, I know. I think one of my favorite Megadeth songs is from that soundtrack, "Go to Hell."
That's a great song.
I love that song. Speaking of, I watched that Megadeth tour that was supposed to happen this year was Lamb of God and Trivium and some other crappy band. Oh yeah, In Flames. We're not going to go there right now. They did a live stream on Friday, where they actually took shows from each of the band and played them live on the stream. They had that annoying dude, Jose from, Sirius XM. That guy. Okay. I saw part of the Lamb of God, which was very, it was very interesting. It was very raw and in your face. They had the camera guy like in the pit most of the time, so they had these really cool shots, and it felt like you were in the pit with them. But the Megadeth show they showed was like about an hour, and it was from about 4 years ago. They played a small show at Lemoore's. Maybe it was, I said it was a small club in Brooklyn. And they went by the name Vic and the Rattlehead. So it was like a very small club show, maybe like 200, 300 people there. It's pretty phenomenal little show. It was great.
I watched the Amorphous shows that you let me steal your password on.
They were great, weren't they?
Yeah, they were really fun.
They released those on Blu-ray or something.
Play in an empty room.
They made plenty of jokes about it too.
Yeah,
those Amorphous shows were phenomenal. I know Enslaved is going to be doing three of them, right? Is that correct, Dave?
Yeah.
One each month?
Is that what it was?
I think so.
I knew they were doing a couple.
It's like July, August, and September. I think the first one is going to be all like a greatest hit, so you can vote on. The second one, I can't remember which album they're going to be playing in its entirety. And the third month, they're going to be playing the new album that's coming out.
Okay.
Which... I don't know if you haven't heard the new. Have you? You've heard the new song, right, Dave?
I have not.
Okay.
I know that there's been some backlash about this.
It's one of the first tracks on our playlist.
It is
earlier. So.
I really like the song. It's just, I think they have the drummer who's doing some vocals on it, and it's very how do you say not Enslaved style.
I don't know. It's like 80% an Enslaved song and 20% something else, and it. I don't know. The more I listen to it, the more I like it. So it does grow on you. But
that's kind of like what Enslaved does as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with that. But the first couple times you hear it, you're going to be like, what is this part? Like,
yeah,
it's inevitable that you're going to have that reaction the first couple times you hear it. But I think that it will grow on you if you like the band in general.
And I do.
Give it a shot. I mean, it's a good song. I'm looking forward to the album. I think I got pushed back. It was supposed to come out, I think, in June, right?
Have you listened to the rest of the stuff off the Behemoth album
they
put out?
I have.
Like, I mean, I know they did
the Cure cover.
The Cure cover, but they also had like three other new songs on there, and those other three songs like blow the Cure cover out of the water. Mm-hmm. They're all amazing. I completely missed them somehow, and only heard the Cure cover until a couple weeks ago, and then caught up on them. But yeah, they're fantastic.
So did Dave do his he did
his Bill and Ted.
Yeah, Bill and Ted. What about you?
Yeah.
Whenever all this nonsense is over, I'm going to get married. So I'm going to go with that.
Oh yeah, brother. Congrats.
That's right. Congratulations, man.
I got engaged over the quarantine. So
as you would.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm super excited about that. Erica's like the best girlfriend I've ever had. Now she's my fiance. She will be my wife. So very much looking forward to the point where we can go and make it official.
She's definitely a good one, man. You got lucky.
Definitely. We are definitely very pleased for both of you on this end.
That's right.
I know it must be really difficult to try to even begin to make plans at this point. So
it is. So we're just waiting.
Sure. Hey, it's a milestone just to be at that point where you are, you know, and that's cool. We had a longish engagement as well.
I did too.
It doesn't matter.
Nope.
So
yeah, I mean, I went through so much crap before I finally got with Erica, and I don't know, she just makes my life a lot better than it was before. So I'm looking forward to this.
I think
whenever it does happen,
it shows. It shows. Yeah.
I think my engagement was like 5 or 6 years, something like that. Because we were waiting for the right time, waiting for certain things to happen in life, and it just finally we're just like, you know what, let's just do it. We've been married, I don't know, we've been together 21 years as of like last month, which we didn't get to celebrate, we didn't get to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're talking about maybe let's go somewhere for the weekend, just rent a hotel in the like hill country somewhere and just not do anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun. Did I mention the new Arion album last time?
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about it a little bit.
So that's still tickling my geek. They keep on announcing new guests and stuff like that, like Steve Vai and Marcella Bovio and all these different people. But I'm still going to go with Last of Us 2 since we already talked about it. That's what's tickling my geek and cannot wait to dive into that this weekend.
Cool.
All right. So I'm done. I'm tired. let's start wrapping it up. What do you guys think?
Sure.
First of all, let's talk about our sponsor. Which we don't have a sponsor. Let's talk about where people can find us on the internet. First of all, you can go to metalgeekspodcast.com. You can also go to ESO podcast or ESOnetwork.com, which is the website that it, all the great shows that make up the ESO network are together. You can find us also all over any kind of podcatcher or so we're on Stitcher and Spotify and Apple Music. What do they call it? What are they calling that now?
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Horrible name. I miss iTunes. I miss the old iTunes. I still have all iTunes on my old system. So,
yeah.
Speaking of something that might be tickling my geek, that old computer that I had finally hooked it back up in my office upstairs. Got Steam running on it. I'm going to be playing some Roller Coaster Tycoon games a lot. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I know you love those.
Yeah. So speaking of ESO Network, you can find us on their feed too on any of your podcatchers. All the great shows that make up the network all together in one place. Same thing with Metal Geeks and MSR Cast together. And we're all over the social medias at Metal Geeks on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagrams. And
it's all true.
It is true. Nothing I said was a lie. Promise. Awkward silence. Okay, perfect. Dave, what about you?
You can find me at Red Viking Dave on all of the things.
Are you working on anything special right now?
I am in between pieces right now. I have a couple of pieces that I haven't posted yet. I need to get shared. But I have plans, just nothing in progress at the moment. Got sketches, concepts, that kind of thing.
Cool. But looking forward to it. Cool. So if you're looking to check out Brutal Dave's artwork, check out Red Viking Dave on all the social medias. What about you, Justin?
You can find me as @ComicalJC on Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to check out my show, the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast, we're available at mindfudgecomedy.com. as well as Apple Podcasts and Google Play and Stitcher and SoundCloud and yada, yada, yada. Although we've not put out an episode since before the quarantine started, so it might be a little while before we get a new one. Andy for some reason decided to move to Seabrook, even though he's only been in his house for like a year and a half.
Okay.
So I'm not sure when things are going to settle down and we'll be able to record, but hopefully before too long. And if you'd like to check out that playlist we keep talking about,
which
I really wish you would, because I put a lot of work into it. It should be posted on the Metal Geeks Facebook page and shared on our Twitter,
Instagram, all those places. Yeah. It's going to be a work in progress. We're going to be updating it every week. And I'm thinking about making a secondary one, which is more classic music too.
Yeah. Like an all time favorite playlist would be fun too. But
yeah.
For now, I think it's great that we have like the best of 2020 so people can hear what's new. So definitely go check it out.
All right. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. And thank you to Dave and Justin for being Metal Geeks with me this evening.
You're very welcome.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you. Welcome. I appreciate that. you've been frozen for like 10 minutes, dude. So I don't see any reaction on your face.
I know. My webcam pooped the bed.
So. All right. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in to episode number 181 of the Metal Geeks podcast. Wolverine's going to be mentioned in here somewhere, right? somebody will figure that out. We will see you guys on the next episode. And as always, keep it geeky.
Keep it metal.
And balls.
And balls. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Fans of podcast, I am Rusted Robot. Rusted Robot is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Episodes in the hundreds, with pop culture reviews and geek-style news. I am Rusted Robot Podcast. You have come here for geek.
Will you listen?
Listen?
For free?
No, we will run, and we will live.
Aye, run, and you'll live, and dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all those days and come back here for just one more listen?
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our Rusted Robot Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.